thief, when he departed, met Jesus in paradise. When you come in contact with the purification of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can meet him in paradise. And you don't even have to hang to death. You can meet him right here. Amen. That's outstanding. We've made Christianity about some far-off place and some far-off time with some far-off God. And it was the exact opposite of the purpose of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about making it near. Emmanuel, God with us. The cross of wood and a mountain of stone covered in blood. It's today. It's for us. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your sacrifice. We've come here to exalt and to honor you and you alone. We're not here for a show. We're not here for anything outside of exalting and magnifying your dear and precious Son, Jesus Christ. We have gathered here today in his name and in his name alone, because it's the only name by which we can be saved. And so we want to bring honor to that name and dedicate this time, all of this time today, the rest of this evening, all of tomorrow, and every moment for the rest of our lives. We want to dedicate it to you, the one who dedicated his life to us. Our living sacrifice, we know, is holy and acceptable unto you. And so we pray boldly in your throne of grace, and we know that we obtain mercy at this time because we need you as much today and as much in this moment as we ever have. And tomorrow our prayer will be the same. We need you tomorrow as much as we do today. We thank you that you answer our prayers, that you hear our cries, and that you attend unto us. We thank you that you've brought us together, that you've unified our hearts through the Spirit of Christ that lives and abides in all of us, and that you've given us the right to come here in this beautiful country and in this building and lift your name up and give rightful praise, worship, and adoration to the rightful God, the only true and living God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray together. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. About 2,800 years ago, there was a man, a prophet of the Most High God. His name was Isaiah. And he was a prophet that was in a land filled with the people of God that were in bondage. And the parallels that we could draw there to some of our lives today are innumerable, but oftentimes, just because we are not a people that are held in subjection by some evil king or evil empire does not mean that we do not have an incredible amount of bondage that we carry with us. Most of the time, there are self-inspired chains that we tie ourselves down with. It says in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, it says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are things that tie us down. And I believe that it is very parallel for us to understand what God did, what the solution was, not only for Isaiah and in the time that he was a prophet, as much as it is for us. And so on this eve before the celebration of the rising of our true King, the living Savior Jesus Christ, I think it's pertinent for us to understand the depths and the magnitudes that God went through in order to bring us this gospel story that makes us gather together on holidays and every other day as the family of God. And so in Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah starts out with, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I'm going to go back to one. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Isaiah prophesying about a man who would one day be filled, completely filled, with the Spirit of the living God. Now, in the old days, in the old times of the Old Testaments, men would move as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come upon the people of God, and He would then depart from the people of God. That's why David could pray in Psalms 91, "Oh, take not thine Holy Spirit from me." But Isaiah is prophesying about a man in a time when he's going to have the Spirit of the living God come upon him in such a way that it's going to change all of humanity. Even science today recognizes this. It's known as B.C. and A.D. Jesus Christ changed the world. There is not a legitimate historian that could ever declare anything else but that this world had never been so changed by one man ever. And here's Isaiah looking forward into a future time, prophesying about this man, the characteristics of this man. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him, because the Lord has anointed him to preach good tidings, good news. Dear beloved, oftentimes we find ourselves in many environments, even Christian environments, where this is not being done the way that the Lord has asked us to do it. This should be good news. This should be good news. Good tidings. You're saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've answered the call, if you've proclaimed the name, you're saved. I tell people all the time, I haven't had a bad day in 20 years. Man, the worst day ever with Jesus Christ is better than the greatest day that I ever had without Him. Praise God. The psalmist says to be a servant in the house of the Lord for thousands of years, or for a day, is better than to be a ruler of the house for thousands of years. Just one day as a servant in God's house is greater than 1,000 days, a whole lifetime outside of the knowledge and the will of God. Praise God. That's important. This is good news. This is good news. There's a man that came that took our shame, our sickness, our sin, all of the issues of life, the pressures, the stress, and He took it for us because He was anointed to do so. This is very important. Beloved, this is not a social club. The Lions Club is down the road. The Moose Lodge is in Freeport. We're not here because we have like understandings. We're not here even because we have like beliefs. We are here because we've been unified by the same Spirit that was on this Savior. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Anointed One. Anointed with God's own Spirit. There was not another Spirit that could do the job. So God gave Him His Spirit. One Spirit. Now we know there's one God, one Son, and one Savior, who is filled with one Spirit. And that Spirit's in us. This is the good tidings unto the meek. Well, I might not be meek, so be meek. Is that complicated? Be meek. It ain't about you. Even your life is not about you. Jeremiah lamenting the fact in Jeremiah chapter 10 says, "Oh God, now I know that man cannot guide his own ways. His steps cannot be guided by himself. He needs help." Thank God Jeremiah said it. We have so many pundits and so many intelligent people that are walking around the planet telling us how to have self-control and how to self-rule our lives and self-help ourselves. You can self-help yourself into the hell. You ain't got enough self-help for you because you are the one that put you into that position in the first place. You're going to self-help yourself out of it? Well, that's an oxymoron. Praise God. You don't need self-help. You need Christ's help. Praise Jesus. So you know what meek is? Okay, I made the mess. Help. That's my preacher definition of meek. Preacher definition of meek is help. When you come to the end of you, then we can find God. That's good news. You know, that's good news. If you have to save yourself, if there's a set of standard, if there's a rule, if there's an ordinance, if there's a line of commands that you have to keep, and if you don't keep them correctly, then you fail. Then what separates us from every other religion on earth? Every religion on earth has a code of conduct. Every other religion on earth has a moralistic standard. They have commands. What separates us? What separates us is that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law for us. Man, that's good news. That's good news. You don't have to keep the law. You get to keep the law. Amen. If you've been changed by the one true and living holy God, then the natural outflow of what happens to a person that has that happen to them is that they honor God. It's natural. It's natural. And yet we're fighting against it. Why don't you just be meek? Accept the good news. Jesus Christ paid your sins on the cross in bloody form because you couldn't. Man, that's good news. You couldn't. God could. God did. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, people will tell you that if your heart's broken, that's it. Game over. You know, once you have your heart broke, you know, it's a year or a decade or, you know, a couple of decades, and you may or may not ever get past that, and you still have scars, and you still have issues to deal with, and you got to have a psychologist and lots of drugs. And then maybe at the end of all that, you'll be in remission. Maybe. I mean, if you got a really good psychologist and you can afford them. Or the good news is, Jesus can come and do it. You know what? He made that heart in the first place. He knows what makes it work. He can fix it. Praise God. Praise God. That's exciting to me. I don't know how to fix my heart. Again, this is another self-help thing. I self-helped myself into a horrible situation in my life on multiple occasions. I didn't need to self-help my way back out. I needed help. So I became meek, and the good news was that He bound up my broken heart. And anything He'll do for me, He'll do for you. Maybe even better. I don't know your heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. There is absolutely nothing that this world can shackle on you that the supernatural world cannot take off you. Nothing. Nothing. That's important that we get that. Because we think sometimes that we are in a position that is beyond help. You know, I know that God can interact in my life to a certain degree. But, you know, He's going to hold me accountable for some degree as well. So in other words, you have to save yourself a little and then God will save you a lot. That's not grace. If you could save you, then you'd be the Savior. Amen. That's important. That's really important. If you could take your shackles off, you wouldn't need somebody to take them off. That's really important. If you could get yourself out of prison, right, and then they caught you, they'd put you back in. That's illegal. You need a prison guard to let you out. You need the law to declare you free. That's a good parallel. You need the law to declare you free. That your trespasses have been absolved. that you have paid the price. Because He has paid the price. Amen. You couldn't pay for it. So now, in prophecy, He was telling us that there was a man that was going to come this way and do all these amazing things. And when He came, and He gave us these great gifts, there would be wonderful occurrences that would take place. So in verse 3, it says that He would appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, Zion representing the new way, the new church. He would appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Anybody ever look in a mirror? It's quiet in his little church house. Amen. You ever look in a mirror and say, man, look how good looking I am. Amen. Every one of us can find flaws, issues, the signs of life. As you age, young people, you understand what I'm saying. I did not dye my hair this color. Amen. It looks good. We're going to pray for your eyes. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You know what qualifies you to be made beautiful to the Lord? A bag full of ashes. Bring them. Bring them. This is good news. These are good tidings. What qualifies you to be exchanged into a beautiful person in the Lord's eyes is a bag of ashes. And we can all offer that. We can all offer that. The oil of joy for mourning. We have many things in our lives, in our closets, that if we spend too much time concentrating on them, we will find that those are not good memories. And they do not produce the joy of the Lord. So in this good news proclamation, you can bring those in and trade them in. You can trade them in. And you can trade in that morning and have oil of joy. The reason it says oil is because when you get oil on you, it goes into your pores. It goes into every aspect of you. You get it in your hair and it soaks in deep. In other words, you can take the surface, emotional, evil world's influence in your body, and you can replace it with something that soaks in deep, that gets in every pores, that gives off a scent. When people walk by, you know when somebody puts on hand lotion, don't you? And they walk by, you're like, either somebody killed a flower or that's hand lotion. Amen. Because that it gets in deep and it goes in your pore and even softens your skin. The oil of joy. It says in Isaiah chapter 12, you shall draw salvation out of the well with joy. Joy is what helps you draw salvation out of the well of life. Joy is very important. And far too often we find Christians with screwed up faces, bad testimonies, angry, mad at other Christians. Dear Jesus, help us. We're supposed to be unified together. Jesus died for us. We're in a very unique and special family, held together by the blood of a Savior who didn't have to die and chose to die. And I know Christians that hate Christians. Oh, Lord. Dear Jesus, help us. Jesus said, you'll know my disciples by their love, one for another. Their love, one for another. That's a person that's had their mourning exchanged for joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Man, I just don't feel like it today, preacher. You know, I ain't got nothing really good going on in my life right now. Well, you just need a new coat. We'll just take that old coat off, get you a new coat. We'll bring you in here, give you a little praise, a little worship. You want to dance a little bit? That's cool. You sing out loud? That's cool. Amen. That's a good trade. Come to church all grumpy, ugly. Leave church all happy, full of the Spirit of God. And praise will change your life if you let it. If you let it. If you enter in. If you just kind of sit there, watch everybody else do it, say, well, they got, why are they happy? Bunch of weirdos. You never know until you try. Amen. Amen. That they might be called trees of righteousness, planted of the Lord, that He might be glorified. This is very important. If God does not plant us as righteous trees, if we do not have perfected righteousness standing in front of our Father, then He cannot be glorified through us. And God's glory is going to be in display of His people. His people are going to display His glory. Remember we were talking about last week? Talking about being Jesus with skin on. Being Jesus with skin on. Glorifying God with your life, with your actions, with your words, with your love. God gets great glory from His people when they have the outflow of the life of God coming from them, exuding from them. This is why He plants us in righteousness. He plants us. You try to plant yourself, your righteousness is as filthy rags. He plants you, you get His righteousness. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Man, that's important. I'm not righteous because of my actions. I'm righteous because of His actions. And then He took my sin and traded it for His righteousness. He planted me as a tree of righteousness. Now I have the opportunity to show the glory of God through my life. Through my life. Through my life. Oh, if this day would come. Don't you know the prophets? This is 700 years before Jesus Christ came. Don't you know that all the people were lamenting the fact, oh, Isaiah, where's the man? Oh, Isaiah, when's he coming? When do we get this good news? Don't you know there's many parallels there? Even in the church today, here we are 2,000 years past the advent of the destruction of sin, hell, and the grave. And still we have so many people that sit in the pews, that walk the streets, that go from house to house, from day to day, life to life, moment to moment, saying, oh, if there only be a day, if there only be a day someday, I can only imagine one day. Oh, Isaiah, when will it happen? Go over to Luke chapter 3. Praise God. Luke chapter 3, and I'll start in the 21st verse. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, oh, praise God, the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. I think y'all heard that. There probably should have been an amen at the end of that verse. The heaven was opened. The heaven was opened. Amen. For 700 years, Isaiah prophesying about a man that would come. Jesus came. And the heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. Oh, praise God. Come on, beloved. Come on, church. The heavens were opened with Jesus Christ. He opened the heavens. They were sealed once. Now they're opened. And what happened? And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. Can you hear the Father's voice? Through the open gates of heaven, resounding down over the Jordan River that day, all the people standing by, seeing a regular fella come down to the water's edge and see John the Baptist take him into the water and submersing him. And then he rises back up, praying, glorifying his Father, just because of the love that He has for him. And the heavens open, and God says, "This is my Son." Can you hear His voice in you, though? That you can't find a verse in there anywhere where it says the heavens closed up. Man, that's important. You can't go back through there from anywhere there all the way into Revelation until the end. That the heavens closed back up. Still today, the Father's voice is resounding out of heavens. "This is my beloved Zach, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Trina, I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Jill. This is my beloved Craig. I'm well pleased in you. I'm well pleased in you." He's never closed it up. He stays pleased with you. And this thing about the Holy Spirit turning into a dove and coming down on Jesus, I'm just got to deal with this and then I'll just drop the bomb and go. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. God loves me. The Holy Spirit does not turn into a dove and fly around on people. It says that He ascended, descended in bodily shape. Bodily shape. It says in Genesis that we were created in the image of God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit looks human. He doesn't change. He's not a morpher. He doesn't change into different creatures. He's not a cartoon. It's the Holy Spirit. He came down in bodily form. The reason it says like a dove is because He floated. He was so majestic. He was so pristine in the way that He came down that you could not recognize it to be anything else but the Spirit of God. The way that He came down was perfect. It was amazing. It was beautiful the way a dove lofts. And yet we want to make Christianity about a bird. Dear Lord, it's not about a bird. It's about Jesus Christ. And anything the world that can do that can distract us from the fact that Jesus Christ was a man. Not a bird. Not a Superman. Not the most beautiful actor that they can find to portray Him. A man. It says in Isaiah chapter 54, it says that when we see Him, we'll think that He's comely. Because there's no beauty that we should desire among Him. You know what that means? Regular fella. Regular fella. What made Jesus special was not the outside, it was the inside. What makes you special? What makes you special? You put Jesus inside of you. You allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up. What is the difference? Praise God. That's important. "You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased," says the Father. So now Jesus Christ comes and accepts the gift, the full gift of the Spirit of the Lord, and allows the Holy Spirit to come and fill Him. Fill Him. Not come on Him, not be with Him, not stand beside Him, but be in Him and fill Him. Brand new, unique opportunity for humanity. The Spirit cannot be removed. This is important. So then later on, Jesus starts His ministry now. 30 years into His life. Starts the fullness of His ministry after being filled with the Spirit of promise. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 15, "And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Remember how we read in Isaiah that if we were trees of righteousness being planted by Him, then we would show His glory? We would be glorified? Jesus would be glorified? So now here we are, "And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." A man filled with the Spirit of God. A God-man. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him round about all the region round about, and He taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, His hometown, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Here's another little sidebar. If it was His custom to go to church, and you're a Christian, kind of quiet in this little church. All right, I'll just move right along with that one. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He found the place. He found the place. I've heard people talk about this. They said that, you know, they just walked up to Jesus and handed him the scrolls of Isaiah, and it was already open, Isaiah 61. Jesus just read it out and was like, well, you know, I mean, I guess. Jesus knew exactly who he was. This is incredibly important, beloved. Incredibly important. And was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Don't you know everybody in church, I said, woohoo, shortest sermon ever. We're getting lunch today, family. He only read three verses. Pack her up, kids. Let's go. Three verses. He just read three verses. Sat down. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Why so? Why were they fastened on him? Because he's so pretty? We've already covered that. Because he floated? We already covered that. They were fastened on him because everybody in that synagogue knew those scriptures. For 700 plus years, they were waiting for the fulfillment of those scriptures. Please, Jesus, please, tell us why you're sinning. How can you read those specific scriptures, the ones that are talking about good news? Because we're living a life that's not that great. We're a nation in captivity to a Roman Empire who treats us like dogs. Our lives are not our own. Our country's not our own. God's promised us great things. And here we are, bound up by life. How can you read those scriptures and then just sit down? This day. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That's a big deal. That's a great big fat hairy deal right there. That's a big deal. This day those scriptures are fulfilled in your ears. What he is saying is that he, Jesus, of Nazareth, has come to heal the brokenhearted. That hits somebody in this place. To set at liberty them that are bruised. That hits somebody in this place. To heal the blind. Is anybody sick? That's what Jesus came for. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If you study that out, it means the era, not the year, but the era that mankind is accepted by God. Hark, the herald angels say, peace, goodwill towards men. The angels got so excited the day that Jesus was born that they broke through the heavenlies and they came down and freaked out a bunch of shepherds saying, hark, hark, hark! There is no more ill will towards man. The war's over. Woo! We can all get about it. Angels and men working together to accomplish the kingdom of God. Praise God. That's a big day. It was so big the angels came out of the heavenlies. Amen. You can hear the sheep baaing in time. Awesome. Great. Huge day. The war's over. We're no longer separated the way that we were. Things are happening. There's good news on the way. Check the star out. Even the heavenlies themselves are declaring it. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears, Jesus says. So don't you know they had a rocking time in the church house, man? I mean, they got at it, right? Get the stringed instruments out. Get the cymbals. Woo! Jesus is the guy. Yeah! Whoop, 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 whoop. That's how it should have been. Do you know what they said? Hey, Hey, Frank, that's Jesus, right? Isn't that Jesus? We know his dad. His dad's Joseph. He makes chairs. Amen. I mean, you know, he's a good guy and all. You know, I mean, he pets the dogs when he walks by them. Right? Isn't that just Steve? Steve makes pizzas. The regular old Steve. Right? I mean, all Lynn Lott does is milk cows. She can't be that special. Right? Just a regular person. Right? Now, come on. Now, we think that the gospel, how did these people in Nazareth and Jerusalem of Jesus' day, how did they just walk by the greatest thing that God has ever done for all of mankind? Just walking by him. Bunch of folks not even acknowledging him. Gaggles of people that want him dead. All the time. How is that possible? Because they couldn't get past the humanity. Do you struggle with that? That's important. Do you struggle with your humanity so you don't let God out? Jesus was absolutely and completely secure in who he was and what he was supposed to do. You know why Jesus manifested to greater degrees the Spirit of God than we do today? Because he is absolutely convinced of his destiny and who was helping him accomplish it. If we can become that secure, if we can have the belief structure, the trust, the faith, as Dennis says, to believe that the God inside of us is equivalent to the God that was inside of Jesus Christ. Same God. You don't get a sliver. God got, and Jesus got it all. If you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit. You don't get a second-rate Holy Spirit, and you don't get a chunk. You either get filled or you don't. And if you didn't, hang out after service. We can handle that. We'll do it right here today. You can have it. It's free. Praise Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, is the live scriptures. It says, as you go, preach. Talk about the kingdom of God. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you've received. Freely give. Jesus Christ has commanded me to freely give. That's why all the materials over there are free for anybody that wants them. Amen. That's why our podcasts are free to anybody that wants them anywhere in this world. That's why everything in His church is available to you. That's why the hearts of the people sitting next to you in this church are available to you. Because we've been touched by an incredible gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ gave us all these things for free. How could we not also freely give them back out? Good news. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus manifested God and glorified God with his life. Jesus had it himself. He says, I can do nothing except what the Father has me do. You know, if I just stood up here, if I walked up to you and I said, you know what? Jesus can't do anything. Especially in a church, I'd get most likely lynched. But Jesus walks up and says, I can't do anything that I don't see the Father do. I can't say anything that I don't hear the Father say. Jesus says it. We read it in Scripture. We say, oh, how pious Jesus must have been. Jesus on purpose came to earth as a man. As powerless as a man is in his natural flesh. To show us that a man, a person, a human being filled with the Spirit of God, listening to the voice of God, following the unctions of God, can do anything. Calm a storm, cleanse a leper, make a blind man see, raise the dead. Wow, this is God. But he's also man. He was so man that when they looked at him, that they couldn't change the fact that they seen a human being. That's very important. So when somebody walks up to you And they look a little natural. Maybe they need a little deodorant. Maybe they need a lot of toothpaste. And they say, you know what? I can help you with the things of God. And you say, well, if you could, yeah, it'd look better. I know you. Aren't you Joseph's kid? So they rejected the promise, but yet Jesus was so secure in who he was and who he was filled with that that did not stop him. Beloved, this is important. Do you know who you are? Do you know what your destiny is? Do you know who's filled you with himself? And do you know why? Don't you know that our world today needs an incredible dose of glory? Needs a great big fat dose of glory. So if God was going to do that on this planet, how would he do it? Well, maybe he'll send Jesus back down and greet. Again? Come on now, it's a broken record. How many times has Jesus got to come to save mankind? Did the first time, was it not enough? Did he not spill enough blood? Did he not die enough? Did he not pay enough? Come on now. That's very important. Jesus knew who he was. And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words, the words of grace. The words of grace. Jesus Christ preached grace. Man, I love saying that boldly because that makes a serious bunch of religious people freak out. But Jesus Christ preached grace. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, not the rules of God. The grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ is what separated him from every other preacher, from every other Pharisee, from every other Sadducee, from every other priest, from every other preacher that was walking the aisles of Nazareth, Galilee, Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Samaria. The message that he carried, the message that you are acceptable unto God, the message that your sins are not holding you, or God is not holding your sins against you, the message that you are God's child. And I'm here to prove it. That's an incredible message. And in the same way that he was rejected then, that message is rejected today. Does that make the message fail? Dear Jesus. If the message fails, Jesus fails. The Bible says that that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. This will separate a bunch of the lions from the lambs. This will pull out the differences between Christianity and every other relationship or every other religion on the earth. His word was with power. I declare unto you a God of power. I declare unto you a living God. I declare unto you a God that is willing to get into any circumstance of your life and put it back the way it should be. Give you a Garden of Eden experience. Now remember, we're not talking about a long way off, a religion of one day, maybe, way out there, someday in the future. We're not talking about Isaiah's religion. We're not talking about a man that's proclaiming something that might take place 700 years from now. We're talking about a man who sat down and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. And he said that 2,000 years ago. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man. A man. Jesus was a man. But there was also another man in the synagogue, which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. There may be people in this building today that says, you know what, I'm cool, preacher. You know, I'm just coming because, you know, Steve drugged me here. That's the only reason I'm here, you know, because, Stacy sent me five texts, and so I better show up to church. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm good. No, I'm good. I mean, I know about the whole thing, you know, the creation and, you know, the Spirit of God and, you know, and the Noah. And I know about the whole thing and God, you know, He did the thing. And then Jesus, I know the name Jesus. I've heard all about it. I know all the stories in the Bible. And, you know, the devils do too. Well, you know, I mean, it's not like that. It's not like I just don't believe. Well, Jesus said that you'll know a tree by its fruit. What's your fruit? Well, what are you trying to say? You know exactly what I'm saying. Your life is on display. Are you emanating the glory of God? Is there, Peter said it, or as Paul said it, is there fruits of repentance? Is there fruits of the way that your life has been affected by Jesus Christ? Repentance is metanoe, your mind being turned back to the direction of God, a change of mind, a return of your mind, metanoe. Is there fruits of your mind being changed? Does your life show the glory, the goodness, the love, the grace, the mercy of God? And don't tell me it's because you're sitting in a church house. Because they were in the church house too. Do y'all read this? Do you read the same scriptures I read? They were in the synagogue. And there was a fella with a devil in the synagogue. And for those of you that don't know, synagogue equals church. Well, come on, you know, everybody in church got to be born again. Oh yeah, it's osmosis. Yeah. You sit next to somebody that's a Christian, you get a little on you. Amen. That's how it works. Right? That's how you get born again. You sit next to somebody that's really born again. Hopefully something rubs off on you and you get some. Don't work that way. Like Dennis preached earlier. It's knowing in here and then saying with here. And then when that happens, then this, your body, starts operating differently. Your mind starts operating differently. Your environment starts to change and reflect that new tree of righteousness that's sprouting from you. So just because you know the whole gospel story and just because you've heard of this fellow Jesus does not make you born again, because if so, then these devils would have been born again. I know who you are. You know, they knew him more than the other folks in the synagogue knew him. The other people in the synagogue said, hey, isn't this Joseph's kid? Right? The carpenter's son? You know what the devil said? I know who you are, the Holy One of Israel. They thought he was Joseph's kid. By the way, he wasn't even Joseph's kid. Right? They all thought they had it figured out. Joseph's kid, right? They didn't know. Born of a virgin. Don't you know, you didn't walk into school and say, hey, I'm Mary's kid, born of a virgin. Yeah, you're going to get beat up. Amen. Praise God. These devils knew exactly who Jesus was, and not a one of them got born again that I know of. I ain't read that story. Amen. You're just sitting in here, you're not going to get the gospel by osmosis. You accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is something that you have to do on purpose with your heart and with your mouth. Praise Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Well, why would Jesus shut him up? Come on. I'm a preacher. Jesus is a preacher. I'm a preacher. You know, somebody came in a church house and they walked in the back, you know, after I got done preaching, they stood back there. Steve Castle is the greatest preacher ever. He's full of the Spirit of God. He's really awesome. And he doesn't probably ever sin much at all. How many preachers would say, hey, shut up. Stop it. Sit down and hold your peace. In fact, I know... There are preachers that kind of pay for that kind of stuff. God bless them. God's working on their hearts. There's a lot of people that are looking for adoration from man, for the proclamation of men. You know why? Because they are insecure in their relationship with Jesus Christ, what He's called them to do, and how He's empowered them to do it. You know why Jesus Christ could tell the devil to shut up? Because he knew who he was, what he was called to do, and how he was going to do it, and he didn't need the devil's help. Man, that's incredibly important. That's incredibly important. You only need one person on your side. If God is for you, who can be against you? If 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. Praise God. Man, that's an important fact. Jesus Christ knew that. And right off the beginning of His ministry, He understood that He was going to be a man filled with the Spirit of God and accomplish His destiny. And He wasn't going to let a devil or a sickness or a wrong-thinking person get in His way. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went round about in every place of the country round about. Praise God, right? He's famous now. He can sign records, right? He can write a book and go stand at Brookshire, or what's the name of that place? Yeah, Barnes & Noble, that place. He can go stand in Barnes & Noble, get a big long line. He's famous, right? Isn't that what all the preachers are looking for, right? That's what, you know, what we're looking for here at Beloved Church, right? Be it famous. If we can get famous, and maybe we can get like CNN over there and Fox over there and let them battle it out, and they can put us on TV and show all the good things we're doing at Beloved Church, right? Then we'll win the world, right? That's how we'll do it. Zach's laughing. Maybe that ain't how we're going to do it. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. So here he was, famous. Folks were piling in to come see him. You know where he went? Simon's house. Little old regular fellow's house. Found him a little old sick gal. Y'all ready for that? When the Spirit of God starts operating in your life, that people start coming up to you in droves? Are you still going to be sensitive to the voice of God? Are you still going to go to the one at the house who needs you? Or are you going to lavish yourself with all the adoration of the people that have come to adore you? Because you're just God's gift to preaching people. A lot of us have our lives cut out for the adoration of man. The way we walk, the way we talk, the way we dress, the places that we work, the way we educate or don't educate ourselves. These are usually done to get acceptance by man. I wonder how often somebody along the line of trying to work their way into some profitable and amazing business situation like Steve Castle did at Waffle House, if he just would have took a stop, a moment, and he just would have checked with God along the lines there somewhere. Hey, God, do you really want me to go all in with Waffle House? Or would you rather have me all in with you? You know, that would have been a good question for me to ask about 6-8 years ago. Would have saved me a bunch of time. Would have saved y'all a bunch of time because I'd have got here quicker. Praise Jesus. That's important. Do you do that? Do you take a moment daily, weekly, and just check your bearings, check your compass, ask God? You know, if I was a janitor at the church and God called me to be a janitor at the church, I would do it with every fiber of my being. That's an important call. Who wants to come into a dirty church? Old stank church. Nobody wants to go there. You know, we need janitors. Amen. We need truck drivers. We need farmers. Amen. Any of y'all ever ate? Thank a farmer. Got a couple of them in here. Praise Jesus. We need people to do that. But we need people to do that as directed by the Lord. Man, that's important. And he arose out of the synagogue, went into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And she had good friends. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto him. Do you remember the little few verses back how he rebuked something else? He rebuked the demon, told him to shut up and get out. Here he is standing over a gal with a fever, and he rebukes the fever and tells it to get out. So Jesus just drew a parallel between sickness and demons. Does that mean every sickness is a demon? Nope. Does that mean every demon brings sickness? Nope. Does that mean that they're both evil? Yep. Acts 10:38 says Jesus Christ was anointed, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Doing good, healing. Doing good, healing. All that were oppressed of the devil, which means the devil oppresses and makes sick. Jesus gets anointed and makes healed. Praise Jesus. Now when the sun was setting, they all that were sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Oh, dear Jesus. So it's not just about a fever. All diverse sicknesses they brought to him, and he healed them all. Well, maybe God just wants to heal the people that are, you know, that are going to have some kind of great testimony about it and all that kind of stuff. How about Jesus wants to heal everybody? How about God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost to help the brokenhearted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the blind, to reach the sick, to cast out devils? How about Jesus wants to affect your life in a powerful and tangible way that can also include your physical health, your mental health, your financial health, your emotional health, that can also affect your relationships in life? Those of you that are struggling with people in your lives that you don't know what's going on with them, why don't you allow the anointing power of God to work through you and to show the glory of God in that relationship and let Him heal it? It'll work. Promise you. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was that day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. He had a ministry where people were seeking him out. Why? Because he was giving them words with power. He was healing their sicknesses. He was casting out devils. He was doing the things that people needed. You know what qualifies you for the power of God? A lack of it. What qualifies you to get healed?
Well, you know, you got to be holy and have, you know, 14 pounds of faith. And, you know, you got to read at least 80 scriptures every day.
Yeah. Zach, quit interrupting my sermon. You know what qualifies you? I did a study on this one time. I literally went through the Bible and I looked at all the healings in the Bible, and I wanted to find what was the parallel, what was the defining characteristic that allowed all these different people to get healed. Because I heard preachers talk about, you know, there, it was by faith. You know, everybody got healed by faith, and you can see faith in action in most every instance. And even the ones that you can't see the faith in there, I could probably preach you into understanding that there was faith also involved in those other ones. And so I'm not saying that there's not faith involved, but I'm saying what was the defining characteristics that qualified them for the healing that God offered them? That's awesome! That's revelation! You know what qualifies you for getting healed? Being sick! Praise God! Anybody sick? You're qualified. Anybody have mental anguish? You're qualified. God will heal that. Anybody have financial issues? You're qualified for the good news to be preached unto the poor. Praise God. You know what's good news to a poor person? You don't have to be poor. You know what's good news to a sick person? You don't have to be sick. You know what's good news to a person with a broken heart? You don't need to have a broken heart. We'll heal it. This is good news. And so people were flocking to him. You know why? Because he was telling them the good news, and then he was following it up with power. You know, it's one thing to stand in a pulpit, to stand in a behind a really nice, whatever this thing's called, and to preach the gospel, and to be fervent about it, and to be passionate about it. You know, that's one thing, to stand and preach, and to sweat, you know, and get a towel and have some people in the background, you know, woo, woo, woo. Yeah, that's one thing. But it's a whole other thing to preach and then have the Word of God confirm it. To have the power of God follow it up. Praise God. Man, I love preaching. I love preaching. I love it with every fiber of my being. I preach sometimes in the middle of the night. I will wake myself up preaching. I love preaching. Oftentimes, people literally avoid me with certain questions because they know they're going to get a 45-minute answer and it's going to be half-preach. I mean, I get that. I understand that. It's the fiber of my being. It's what makes me tick. I get that. But you know what really rings my bell? Going online to belovedchurchillinois.com and read the testimony from the gal that's been healed, who was on medication for years, and God healed her. And hearing about the people that have been affected by the power of God, that have had their lives changed. You know, if that happens every day in my life, I'll never preach another word. God told me to sit down and shut up and just let Him do things all around me. Oh, dear Jesus. Greatest day ever. I am honored, honored, honored that God has allowed His power to flow through your lives and into your circumstances and change things about your environment that before were unchangeable. Honored. Honored. That's Jesus Christ. He's come to heal, to bind up, to set at liberty, to free. And it's today. It's not 700 years from now. It's not 7 years from now. It's today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Acts chapter 2, verses 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one place, in one accord, in one heart. And suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it says flames of fire surrounded and landed on each of them. And it says that these were like cloven tongues of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In the same miraculous form as the bodily form of the Holy Ghost coming down to Jesus in the Jordan River. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, says that regular old run-of-the-mill folks got the same thing. Got the same thing. Because Jesus Christ made a way. He rent the veil in the temple. 40 feet high, 3 inches thick, impermeable to human hands. When Jesus Christ died, the veil was torn. Opening the way to the Holy of Holies of God's temple, creating a face-to-face experience between God and man. This same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that showed up on the day of Pentecost is also the same Spirit that Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It's also the same Spirit that Jesus said in John chapter 16. It says, now you have sorrow because of the words that I'm speaking unto you the night before He's being crucified, when He's about to be taken away from the disciples, what they think is forever. He says, because I'm saying these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. But if you knew what I was talking about, you would have joy, because I tell you the truth, it's expedient, it's better for you if I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is better than His. Oh, praise Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God can be upon you because He hath anointed you to heal the sick. Isn't that the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world. They that believe and are baptized shall be saved. They that believeth not shall be damned. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through the end. And they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. And His word went with them, confirming the words that they were preaching. Praise God! This is today, this is for us, this is for now. It's not, we don't have to think about there's going to be a day of coming. There's no day of coming. The day of coming is today. Today's your day. Right now. You have the Holy Spirit available to you today, the same way they did in the book of Acts. No, they just did that special in the book of Acts. It was just for those fellas and gals. Well, you know, it also says in there that later on in the book of Acts, it says in verse 29, it says that Peter came down and preached a sermon. He said, it's available to all y'all. Verse 39. He says that you can have this and your kinfolk, your family, and all that are afar off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And those that are afar off, guess what you are? You're afar off. You get it too. So the Lord rent the heavens for Jesus to come out, and then the Holy Spirit comes out. He's well pleased with you. He gives you His Spirit, and now here you are in a church pew. What did we miss? Nothing. You just need to know. You need somebody to proclaim it to you, right? Isn't that what Dennis said? How can they know without a preacher? Now you know why I love doing what I do. Amen. I get to proclaim this. You should be proclaiming this. The glory of God should be on your life to the point where whether your mouth is open or shut, you're proclaiming the glory of God. Be it through action or word, through power or deed, you should be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you do this? Can you commit to it? Amen. Can you do it? Can you, with the filled power of Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of God, with the Spirit of Lord who anoints you, who fills you, can you dedicate your life to Him the way He dedicated His life to you? Can you do it? And don't answer just because you're in the right place at the right time. If you have an emotional response to God, if you respond to God because of some emotional high, then when you have another emotional high, you'll walk away. So if I've preached you happy, you know, God bless you. But if I preach you into commitment, then God bless you. Today's your day. Today's your choice. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, today's your day. If you want to be born again, if you want to know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, then today's your day. If you want healing to manifest in your body, today's your day. Today is the day of salvation. The Spirit of the Lord is here with us today. For you. You know, the Spirit of God didn't fill Jesus to make Jesus cool. He filled Jesus to glorify God. Jesus said that He glorifies God. Jesus specifically did not want Himself to be glorified. He wanted God to have the glory. Your life filled with God gives God great glory. Amen? You want to commit to that? Amen? All right. Amen. Good. If you want to commit, I want you to stand up and commit. If you don't, then stay. Nobody... You're in a place where you've never been loved the way you've been loved in this place. If you don't want to commit, that's fine. But you can think about it. But if you want to commit to being a carrier of the Spirit of God, to proclaim the good news about what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life, and tell other people how to have the same experience, then I want to pray with you. I want you to commit to it. Jesus Christ was hung on a cross as a show of His commitment. And I don't think it's wrong for us to also stand and commit. Amen. People in the cars are committing. Praise God. Amen. All right. If you want to commit, stand up. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you have yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you down after. If you want to be born again, you've never been born again before, then I'm going to ask you to come up if you'd like to be born again. There's no pressure on you. You can do it if you want. We're going to pray together. We're going to commit together. We're going to tell the Lord that we're not committing to a church. We're not committing to a religion. We're not committing to a doctrine. We're committing to the Savior of the world. Amen? Father, You see the hearts of these folks standing here. You know why they're standing. You know the purity of the decision that they're making, Lord. And I believe that You are a God that honors the things that we bring and offer to You as sacrifices. He said in Timothy, he says that God, I know that my God is able to keep that which you commit to Him unto that last day. And so we believe that they, as they are committing, as they are bringing it to you, that you are keeping. They're the committed, you're the keeper. Lord, we know that we will make mistakes. We know that we have made mistakes. But we also know that your blood covers a multitude of sins. We know that there is nothing that can take us out of our new covenant right standing with you because of how great a covenant it is, how it makes the old covenant pale in comparison, how it's a greater covenant filled with greater promises, and we're dedicated to that covenant. We're dedicated to proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love, a God of acceptance, how He'll take all people in all places at all times, even for a thief on a cross, and also for us. So we thank You for this promise. We thank You that You've given us this ability to stand before You boldly. We know that it's You that's working in us, both the will and the ability to do good, and so we rest and we lean and rely on You. You know, our righteousness is a filthy rags, but Your righteousness that You've given us is pure and holy, as You are holy. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We're committed to You. And we pray together in unity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.